It's Romans 12, verse number 2, reading. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is and what is good and acceptable and perfect." Some of your versions would say prove. Some of them might say no. But basically that there's this understanding of the will of God. So I love this kind of thing because I'm kind of a, I like to know how to do, what to do, those kind of things. And God, by His Holy Spirit, is really clear. He says, don't be this, do be this. This is how you do it, and this is why you do it, all in this one verse. And I love that. So we'll start with, don't be this. Don't be conformed to this world. Now, if you've been in church very long, that's like not a difficult statement. You hear it. When I was growing up, that was the thing we knew more than anything else, is what we're not supposed to be. You know, we didn't know as much what we were supposed to be, but we definitely knew what we weren't supposed to be, because the world was a force that was out to draw you away, to draw you, to make you go astray, to think wrong thoughts and to do wrong deeds. That was the world's intent. At least as you were in church, that's what that you would understand. And I don't think that you could argue that, really. When you look at Scripture, you begin to understand that Satan is the prince of the power, is the prince of this earth. That when he was cast down from earth, God in many ways gave him the keys to this world so that he could have reign and rule in this world. The interesting thing is that it talks later in, as Jesus died, that he wrested the keys from Satan, right? So we have an opportunity through Jesus not to be subject to the ruler of this world. But this world constantly is kind of drawing us to those kind of thoughts. We live in America, right? And so we think to ourselves, I'm not being drawn into American way of thinking. And I think to myself, man, there's too much of America in me. You know, too much of a desire to have, too much of a desire to be comfortable, too much of a desire to whatever, have my own way in so many things and consume the world. And yet, that's not really the scripture. That is worldly thinking. I want everything for myself to do whatever I want with. And God says, don't be conformed to the way of the world. You look around you and you see what runs our culture. And most of the time, you'd come up with a couple of different answers, and I'll just throw out a couple of them. One of them is money. I mean, there's no way we can look at and not say that money doesn't run this world. And it corrupts so easily, and it entangles us if we're not careful. Evil is rampant. Now, people might describe evil differently. I mean, everybody says different things about evil, but what we understand, and even in Scripture, that what's happening in our world is things that are evil are being called good, and so people aren't recognizing evil at all, and evil is just kind of running this world. That selfishness, or kind of maybe being your own God, those, I almost put those in the same kind of thing. Selfishness, pride, humanism, they're all kind of lumped together in this sense that I can do whatever I want as long as I'm not hurting anybody else. And the truth is, some people would say, even if I'm hurting a few people, I should be able to do whatever I want. Right? But those are the kind of things, and you could name a number of others. But those are just a couple that I'm just throwing out there that all of us kind of recognize that that's kind of built into the culture, built into the system of the world that we live in. And God is saying, don't be conformed to that world. Don't be conformed to that world. He has a totally different way of thinking about things. And when we're talking about being transformed, we'll talk a little bit about that. But that we have a choice to either choose man's way or to choose God's way. I know some of you are thinking, well, are you saying that we can choose man's way or we can choose your way? No, that's not what I'm saying, all right? Because I have that same choice. I can choose man's way or I can choose God's way. Every one of us do. I had a friend who used to always say, he was a pastor, he used to always say, well, you can do it that way or you can do it God's way. And what he really meant was, you can do it the way I'm telling you. And that's not what I'm saying at all. I believe we have the Holy Spirit for a purpose to help reveal to us what God's way is. We have the scriptures to help reveal to us what God's way is. But we look around us and our natural tendency is to do it the way man does it. That we see a problem, if you're like me, some people run away from a problem. I end up not doing that. We see a problem and we jump in with both feet and we try to solve it. And that's actually man's way, not God's way. And I get myself in trouble doing that probably more than anything else. Don't be conformed to the way of the world, to its ways, to its thoughts. Don't be conformed to the world. But be this. Be transformed. Now, I almost titled this message More Than Meets the Eye. Because that's the old Transformers line when I was growing up on the cartoons. Transformers, more than meets the eye. Anyway. There's big robots that would change into cars and change back into robots. And, you know, we have an opportunity to change. There's a lot of people that really don't like change at all. And you may count yourself in that number. And the truth is, there are areas that we're willing to change in and areas that we're not so willing to change in. And every one of us have tendencies that we are like, man, I don't want that to change in my life. I'm comfortable with that, you know. My mom finds a restaurant she likes and she goes to that restaurant and orders the same meal day after day after day after day. And I'm going, oh. But I'm not so terribly different. I may have a cycle of 5 or 6 meals that I go through and I have about the same thing. When I make my breakfast in the morning, not right now because currently we don't have a kitchen, but when we do have a kitchen, it's funny because I find myself doing it that I'll arrange everything thus and so. That it has to be just, this is my workspace, this is how it's supposed to look, this is how it's supposed to be when I'm cooking. And I think, I don't like it when something's out of place or when it's just missing. And honestly, that's every day of my life right now. But we all have those things in us, right? That we think, I don't want this to change, I don't want this to change. But when you look at Christianity honestly is every day about change. It's a balance though, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the difficulty is God and His way and His thoughts are so far above my ways and my thoughts that in order really to become like God, come like Jesus, that I have to be changing. And so my life has to be constantly described by changing. And that's what transformation is. The interesting thing is that when this word is used, transformation, in the scripture, it's only used one other time in the New Testament, the word transformation that's used here. And it's used at the Mount of Transfiguration as it's talking about Jesus. And His face was transformed. And the interesting thing about that it wasn't so much that His face looked different, because I believe His face looked just like He looked, but it was, the transformation was the God that was in Him, because He was fully man and fully God, was completely evident in that place. Because suddenly, even those that had been walking with Him and were His closest companions recognized that He was God. Now, Peter had said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But it was different on the Mount of Transfiguration. So much so that Peter said, let's build these tabernacles to remember what's going on. But this wasn't something that was an external transformation. This was something that shone forth from inside. And I have a feeling that that's what God's talking about here, that we are actually supposed to be transformed. And it's not just supposed to be something that changes the way we look. It's something that's happening inside of us. In fact, it's something that's already happened in us. But it has to be expressed in our life. Because God said the moment that we accepted His Son Jesus as Savior, that we were made a new creature, a new creation. That old things had passed away, behold, all things become new. And so in some respects you'd say, no, the day that I was born again, I was transformed. I agree with that statement. But the problem is our face doesn't know it half the time. And our life doesn't know it half the time. And the way we think doesn't know it. And the things that we do doesn't know that that transformation has already taken place. And so somehow that what has happened inside of us has to be expressed outside of us. And that caterpillar, the butterfly is there already before it goes into the cocoon. But that caterpillar has to grow into that butterfly. And that transformation has to be evident, not just to be known as true, but to actually be seen and experienced. And that's what we're talking about here. Yes, we are not supposed to be conformed to the world. In fact, we as those who are bought by the sacrifice of Christ, we are transformed in a new creation. But how do we get from that old worldly person that we are, even the one that lives in the world today, because we're supposed to be in the world and not of it. God's kingdom is not of this world. All these kind of statements that happen. But we live here and we breathe breath every day and we have to go out and make money in order to pay rent, in order to buy food, in order to do whatever. And there's other things beyond food and rent that we want, because some of us want to be able to go fishing once in a while, and some of us, any number of things, right? So there's all kinds of stuff that we have to be in this world, and we get sucked in and sucked in and sucked in. But God says, don't be conformed. Instead, be transformed. Let the changes happen inside of you. Find expression in your life. How are you going to do that? How am I going to do that? You see, that's the question. And the writer of Romans says you do that by having your mind renewed. By the renewing of your mind. Well, that's a pretty statement, but okay, so how do I renew my mind? Well, one of the things is true, that your mind's actually going to renew itself anyway. It was in the late 1900s, okay? So 1956, they started exploring maybe brain cells actually do regenerate. Before that, for 100 years before that, they said, no, when your brain cells die, that's it. But then they said, maybe that's not where the science is. And as time has gone forward, they find out that brain cells actually regenerate themselves. Now, your brain's always dying, but it's always getting new cells. So when you think about it, at some measure, what's happening is all the old is dying and the new is being born again. Question is, what are you feeding the new on? Okay? So that new brain that is growing every day, well, it's probably maintaining, but you've got new cells every day. That new brain that is being created every day, what are thoughts or is it feeding on? Because truthfully, 2-3 years from now, you're going to have a totally new brain. Because that's how many cells are dying and how many cells are growing every day. And so over a period of time, you and I both, we're going to have a totally new brain. So when it says by the renewing of your mind, and I recognize that maybe the mind is kind of a combination of a brain and the heart. Maybe it's a combination. I mean, in the scripture, the mind is kind of a, you can't just pin it down. Because it's got something to do with desire and passion and what drives you as far as love. But it also has to do with the way that we think and how our thoughts are and what our thoughts are centered on. So it's kind of this combination of brain and heart. But the reality is this, that if we choose to think on the things of the Lord, like Romans 4:8 says, if we choose to allow the Bible to be a regular part of the diet of our life, that we are filling it with the Spirit of God, if we allow praise to be something that we regularly participate in it, not just when we come to a church service on Sunday morning, but actually praise becomes a regular thing in our life, that wherever we are, that whether it's in song or whether it's just in, thank you, Lord, that we praise the Lord. If we do that and we begin to feed our life and our thoughts and our brain, our mind with those kind of thoughts, guess what? Maybe the things that were negative that we continued to rehearse in our mind, that maybe our dad said to us, that maybe our teacher said to us, that maybe our friend said to us, man, you can't talk, you have a hard time talking, why don't you just be quiet? man, you ruin everything you do. Why don't you just let other people take charge of that? You're a loser. So many things might have been said to you that actually still are in your mind that run through and run through. So when the old brain cell dies, the new one's born, and that thought just popped into that new brain cell. And guess what? Your mind isn't actually being renewed. Your mind is being stuck in a pattern. But if we would take the time to say, no, I'm going to be reading the scripture. I'm going to be hearing the word of God. I'm going to be singing or speaking the praises of the Lord. I'm going to be thinking on the good things of life. I'm going to remember what God has said about me. And not all these other things, so that suddenly, as those cells that are saturated with the negative of our life begin to die away, we can be filled with the positive that God speaks about us. And we can be filled with the Word of God. And we can suddenly begin to recognize that I'm not what I was. That it's not just something that I'm forcing myself to do. It's something that's happening in me. And if I would take the time to actually feed myself well, to feed my spirit well, that it's almost going to be a natural outworking that my mind will be renewed and I will become a different person. Even as God already says I am. God already says that about you. You're not all of those things. You are one that I love. You are one that I gave my son for. You are one that I'm preparing a place for. You are one that is going to spend eternity with me. God says all these things about us. And we remember these negative things. But if we could rehearse, suddenly we will be transformed. Even as he's made us a new creation. No longer subject as a slave to sin. The chains have been broken. We are no longer sick, but we're healed. We're no longer poor, but we're rich. We're no longer homeless, but we have a home in heaven. We are citizens of his kingdom. So many things that God has said about us, and he's made real because of his sacrifice of his son. But we don't always live them out in our life. Because we're stuck in an old mind. We're conformed to the thinking of this world, rather than being transformed by the renewing of our mind. So what is this transformation going to gain us? You know, we always want to know that. What do I get out of this? And the truth is that, according to this verse, we begin to know and understand what the will of God is. And you may say, why is that powerful? What difference does that make if I know what the will of God is? Well, let me tell you a couple of things, okay? One is, first, we have a misconception that if we know the will of God, that everything is going to be great in our life. We have a misconception that says, if we do what is the will of God, that everything's going to go well. Let me just in a short little bit illustrate why that's not true. Jesus was feeding 5,000 people. Well, he was blessing the bread and the disciples were feeding the 5,000, right? And they got all done. Everybody's exhausted. They've collected all the leftovers. And what did Jesus say to his disciples? Now, it wasn't ambiguous. It was a direct command from Jesus to his disciples. He told them, go get in the boat and start going to the other side. So, what did the disciples do? Did they disobey Jesus? Were they out of the will of God? No, they did exactly what Jesus told them to do. They went and got in the boat, they pushed off from shore, and they started going to the other side. So you would have to say that the disciples were in the perfect will of God. Not just the permissible will, but they were in the specific, perfect will of God. God told them what to do, and they said, let's do it, and they did it. What happened? When you read the scripture, it says, and a storm arose on the sea. And it was like the wind and waves were specifically against the disciples. So much so that in one version it says, and the disciples were there straining at the oars. So I'm just saying that just because we know what the will of God is and just because we're doing what God wills for us to do doesn't mean we won't be straining at the oars. It doesn't mean it's just going to be simple and perfect and all good. Jesus knew, because he said, I'll meet you. Well, how are you going to do that across the Sea of Galilee? And he walked across the waves. That's what he did. He walked across the water. And he demonstrated in that moment that he had power over even the elements and the climate and everything else that is happening in our world. God has the power. But just because we are doing what we know God wants us to do doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. So why is it good that we know the will of God? What difference does it make if even if I'm in the middle of the will of God, life still might be hard? Well, it makes a couple of differences. One is that we know Jesus is with us. Okay, even in that instant, he walked to them and he was there with them. And the wind and waves calmed. Secondly, if you read Romans, and we were just in it not too long ago, Romans chapter 8, when we talked through that section, it talks about how the Holy Spirit even prays through us. But here's the deal. God, the Bible is very clear that we, when we ask something, it will be done. That when, if it's not done, we ask again. And that if we have faith, actually even Mount Hood can be moved. I mean, there's this whole sense of what we ask for, we have. But what we have to understand is what is even a greater rule than the fact that we have what we ask for is that God's will always be done. And we may have an imperfect understanding of the will of God. So knowing the will of God becomes incredibly powerful in our prayer life. Because then we begin to ask according to His will. And everything asked according to His will is done. Because that's what He does. I would also say this, that knowing the will of God, and as we ask according to the will of God, what will happen is, as we are not conformed to the thinking of this world, and as we're transformed by the renewing of our minds, suddenly, we ask for totally different things anyway. You know? We don't ask selfishly. We may. We're people after all. And actually, God wants to bless us. So He doesn't. It's not like your father or you towards your children, or especially you towards your grandchildren. You know, you towards your children, just so you know, by observation of myself, is that me towards my children, I was hard. And my answer was no a lot of times. It's interesting that me towards my grandchildren, I'm not nearly as hard. And my answer is almost never no. It's not, there are times when it's no, right? There are times when it's no. Because it's unsafe or because it's not something that that child's allowed, one reason or another. But by and large, the answer is, yeah, let's do it. And I would just say that though we are sons and daughters of God, I like to think of myself now that I'm 58, that I'm a grandson of God. I like to think of myself that way instead. In the Bible, when you read Chronicles and Kings and all those kind of things, it says, and this king was the son of this king, but if you really start digging into it, you say, he wasn't the son, he's the grandson. And I just think that God thinks that way about me. He calls me his son, but really I'm his grandson. So that when I'm asking him stuff, the answer is yes way more often than it's no. But that's God's love toward us. He loved us so much that he gave us his son Jesus. And so even though sometimes maybe we feel like I'm asking this selfishly, if we're not conformed to this world and we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind, even asking something that we say that's a selfish request, I have a feeling it actually isn't. I have a feeling it may be right in the center of God's will. And he not only wants to heal you, he wants to bless you, he wants to provide for you. He wants to do all those things that a loving father, grandfather would want to do for his children / grandchildren. God loves us. And that's the thing that I want in my life and I want for every one of us, that we're not stuck in a pattern that is negative and destroying our life because the world is leading to destruction. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. That's the world. Okay? I don't want to be conformed to that, but so often we get ourselves stuck in that, and I don't want to be conformed to that. Instead, I want to be transformed. And I want to, when I pray and when I ask and when I do, that I want it to be with God's blessing and with a sense that, yes, we are experiencing being transformed by the renewing of our mind. So, don't be conformed to the world. That's the thing we're not supposed to do. Be transformed. In other words, that new creature, that new creation that God has said we are, that we continue to be transformed and express that in our life. So that it shows in our face, it shows in the things that we say, it shows in the thoughts that we think. And that happens by the renewing of our mind. You know, garbage in, garbage out. Let's put in the good stuff. Let's think the spiritual thoughts. Let's allow God to be at the center, whether it's in the Word, whether it's in our praise, whether it's in prayer. We allow God to be what is being fed to our minds so that we can then know the will of God. The will of God. It's an interesting thing. I preached a sermon one time years ago, and the basic thesis of it was, I know the will of God for you and for me. And it's simple. It's yes. It's yes. Lord, whatever you ask, the answer is yes. That's the will of God for every one of us. But to be able to know in more specific ways, and to be able to be confident that when I'm living my life and the things that I ask and the things that I'm a part of that are being led by God in the will of God, then I have to follow that pattern. Don't be conformed, but be transformed. Let your mind be renewed. A lot of people will say, you know, you've got a conscience in you, just follow your conscience. Well, here's my difficulty with that statement, okay? My difficulty with that statement is that the Bible tells us that the heart of humanity is desperately wicked. Okay? That the heart of humanity is desperately wicked. So if I am over here being conformed to the ways of the world and the thoughts of the world, then I can't trust my conscience. Because my conscience will be wicked. But if I'm not being conformed to the world and I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind, I can begin once again to understand that my conscience will actually be an expression of the Holy Spirit bringing conviction. It's two different things. They're really in experience the same thing. But the difference is whether I'm being conformed to the world or whether I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. They're the same thing by experience. Somebody will say, I don't think I should do that, or I think I should do that, and somebody will do something and never have any kind of feeling that it was wrong, whereas then you're being transformed, and you think I should, I don't think I should, and it's the guidance and the leading of the Holy Spirit. I did something, that wasn't right, I shouldn't have done that. That is the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But without God, everybody would describe that as conscience. And the difference is, though, how we're relating to God in the process of this verse. Being conformed to the world or not being conformed to the world. Being transformed or not. And I would say, yes, we can begin to expect that the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us, and we will be able to really trust the inner voice that's happening in us as the Holy Spirit leads us. Because we're not being conformed to the world. But you have to deal with that question first. You can't just say, I trust what my inner mind is saying, what my conscience is saying, if we're not submitting to the Lord at all, because then we are walking the path that leads to destruction. And all of the inner voice is going to lead us to destruction. But with God, with transformation, with the walk and journey with Him, that we actually begin to say, no, it is leading towards life. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may know what is the good and perfect will of God and it expresses itself in your life. We all strive towards that. And I would just encourage each one of us to begin to feed ourselves, if we're not already, more and more with the Word of God, with praise, with prayer, with the thoughts that are just and pure and right and holy and of good report, that we begin to feed ourselves on those things and be transformed. Perhaps you've come this morning and you're looking at this tank over here and you go, what is going on? Well, we will be having a baptism by immersion. In other words, totally submerged into that water at the end of next service. But that happens because people have decided and declared that they believe in Jesus Christ and they will live for Him for the rest of their life. And that's a step after that that God has told us to do, believe and be baptized. And I would just say this morning that the first step in any Christian journey is to believe. To believe that Jesus Christ is who He said He was, and to ask Him to be not just something you believe, but actually to be the Lord, the one who makes decisions, the one who gives directions, the one who leads us in life. That we believe in Him, He is our Lord. Then He forgives us, makes us a new creation, and we become a part of His family. So is anybody here that would say, you know, I haven't taken that first step to believe and to submit myself to Christ? And you'd say this morning, I want to do that. Just raise your hand and let me include you in the prayer here at the end of the service. Looking around the room, I pretty much know every one of you. So I ask that just because I need to ask it to feel good about what I do, because I think I have a responsibility to the Lord. But as I look around the room, I think to myself, I know every one of these people and what they think about Jesus and how they live for Jesus. And I would say to us that last week I said, we haven't had anybody sign up for baptism. We have four today because they signed up either last Sunday or through the week. But I would say with 50 people sitting in this room, by the end of this 22, I don't know, you can say it any way you want to, but I'll say it 2020, that there could be 50 more people that need to be baptized if we would become involved in other people's lives and just live out loud for them so that they see the goodness of what God is doing in our lives. Let me invite you to join me in standing, the worship team to return. Don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind so that the will of God might be expressed in our life. We might know it. As we close in prayer, I will say that at the end of service, if you'd like to come spend some time at the altar, feel free to do that. Kim is here. If you want to pray a prayer of agreement, he'll pray with you. And Lord, how grateful we are for Your love to us, that indeed You give us Your Son, and Your Son is alive. Even though He died, You raised Him to new life, and He lives even now making intercession, praying for us. And Lord God, this morning, I just ask that I would respond in positive ways to Your Word and to Your message. And Lord, my mind might be full of who You are, of what You say about me. Lord, that I would understand the strength, the power that is expressed in receiving the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And this morning I pray, Lord God, that those thoughts, those things that might have kept me stuck, that the Lord, You would break the chains of those things, and You would help me to walk into hearing Your voice and hearing Your word, that I would find myself daily feeding my spirit with the good things that You offer. That I would be transformed, that I would be changed. Lord, we ask Your blessing, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Don't forget, at probably 20 till, we'll be baptizing them. 20 to noon, we'll be baptizing. If you want to come and witness that and encourage those that are being baptized, I'd encourage you to do that. And then right at noon, we will have a potluck here. a farewell to Allie, though she isn't really leaving immediately, but she's finishing her work here with the kids, and then she'll be heading to Bozeman, Montana in the next several weeks. So that's a potluck at noon today. So may God add his blessing, and may we walk with his voice ringing in our ears, that we would hear the good report that he has of each of us. May God be with you, and may he bless you.